Blog Talk Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Okay, well, it's cooled down somewhat here in New York City, although I haven't been out to find out. I'm stepping out tomorrow. I think it might still, it's a little less muggy, too. I don't know if that means there's less people being mugged, but that's it should be fine. But I'm in my home and doing the radio show. And let's see, where's the okay, I don't know where they are. Oh, they're coming in. Well, okay, what? That was Esther and Eunice. Okay, my chickens are here. They just told me that Ethel May, their newly adopted daughter, is taking a nap at the moment. By the way, we got Ethel May from the Susan Lieben wing of Chicks Are Us. So, today's we're not going to be talking about chickens, but we will be talking about other things. Firstly, we're going into something regarding a city pass. Well, you know, there's a lot to do in New York City, you know, that. Attractions like galore. And whether you're a tourist or you're just from out of, you know, tourist from out of town or a resident of the area, how can you avoid the long lines and at many of the major attractions while even getting a discount at the same time? Well, it's called City Pass. And Brian Sullen, who's the marketing exec, will tell us all about this and how it works. Now, do you love lobster? Yeah, of course. We all love lobster. Well, where is the best place to buy it? Like, right from the boat? Well, Steve Holla owns a lobster boat in Quincy, Massachusetts, and has some great information to share about buying lobsters. And, peanut butter. How about peanut butter? You like peanut butter? For those of you who are not allergic to peanut butter, you got to listen to this. Shannon Campagna? Okay, that's what it looks like. She's the owner of Peter Principle. Peanut Principle, a company that manufactures more than just your average peanut butter. So we're going to hear from her, and I'm not even going to go on with my sponsor, only because I don't want to talk about brownies right now. So what we're going to do, I think I have... Do I have you on the line? Brian, are you there?
Hey, Merle.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, great. A city pass. Now, this is like New York City Pass, as opposed
it's
to...
New York Pass. Mm-hmm.
New York Pass. Okay,
yeah.
So, because I understand that a lot of major cities do this kind of thing, correct? That they
their passes all over the world,
and so you could just make a pass at anybody. I mean, get a pass from anybody.
Yep, I mean it's the great thing to do, especially in New York with so many attractions, and New York prices are not that cheap.
So let me first go into before you name all 80 places.
How much time here you got?
You got half an hour. But we're gonna let's first talk about how this works and the cost.
Okay, great. So how it works is we offer the pass for 1, 2, 3, and 7 days, and it's kind of like a buffet of New York City attractions. You just, for as long as you have the pass, you can visit as many attractions as you like. So you just present this pass. It's a card with a smart chip in it at each of the attractions to get free entry. So it's the more you see, the more you save. So our passes start at $85 for one day, and we have packages that go all the way up to $270 for 7 days with a hop-on, hop-off bus tour.
Oh, so in other words, I was just going to say, how do you getting around? So part of it, the bus tour is part of this package.
Yep,
the
you
pass.
Can add on the bus tour to include.
Bus tour.
Yep, you can add on, because some people, you know, like to do it like a New Yorker and just take the subway around. Others love, you know, those double-decker bus tours. So we have options. We can add on the bus tours or just get the pass to get entry into the attractions.
Now, also you can get a, well, you, if you're doing like the subway, the subway offers like a, one of those passes, by the way,
Subway now has either a 7-day unlimited pass, or you can just put some money on it to do a trip at a time.
Okay, so for somebody who is saying I'm going all out and doing it for the 7-day pass, it would probably be better to get to get a subway pass as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay, as opposed to, I don't think they have taxi passes. I don't think they.
No, they don't have them yet. So maybe that's a good idea.
And by the way, with the Metro Pass, it's the same. Like, it doesn't mean you need to go on the subway. You can take buses, correct?
Yep, it includes the bus and the subway if you're getting a Metro.
Okay. All right, so let's say I'm doing this. How many, attractions do you think I could get in one day?
On one day, our average is 3 to 5 per customer. It depends on the area you go to, too, because, you know, Times Square and Rockefeller Center is very heavy with attractions, where there could be 6 or 7 attractions right within walking distance. Where if maybe you split it up and did some, you know, in the Times Square area, or maybe you wanted to go downtown to visit some of the museums or visit the Statue of Liberty down there. So it's all up to you what you want to do. But on average, it's 3 to 5.
Okay. So what we're looking at, and this is just when you're getting this, do they have the family thing, or like this is a kind of thing, a one pass per person?
We sell a pass per person, and we have adult and child rates.
Oh, okay. So let's now kind of. What is the reason for doing it? Just to get people to attend attractions?
Well, it's a way to gain exposure for more attractions in New York. Because the feedback we get a lot is that people who come to New York are kind of blown away with there's so much to do and they're not sure where to get started. So with a pass, you get a guidebook that lists all the attractions that you can visit. So it's a way for you to help navigate. There are maps. There's a subway map in the back of the book. So a lot of people say that they actually see a lot more when they come when using a pass, because it's something where you don't really have to think about it because it's already been paid for. So instead of, you know, thinking about a budget, you know, like, oh, you know, we already visited 2 things today and we don't want to have to spend another $35 per person, the pass has covered it. So you can just go in carefree and enjoy the time in the city.
Oh, now, do you get to visit all 5 boroughs with this?
Yes, we have attractions in every single borough.
What do you got in Queens?
We got Queens, well, the Queens Museum, which is currently closed for renovation, sadly, and New York Hall of Science.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
we got Queens. Well.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, that would be great when the renovations are done.
Yeah,
because,
it's going to look fantastic.
They're not quite in walking distance. I mean, you really got to, it's a long walk. between
yeah,
the two of them.
Yeah, that's something you would definitely have to utilize the subway for.
Well, I don't know that from one of them to the other, if you're going at one to the other, I don't know if they have, there might be, I don't know if they have any kind of connections, a shuttle or something going that you could actually go from one to the other. That's, would, yeah, anyway, but so let's get, what I want to talk about is not necessarily like the top 10 kind of thing because, you know, I would like to get in talking about ones that are not usually seen, you know, that people may not know about. Can you tell us about, like, what some attractions like that?
Yeah. We have some great smaller museums that are kind of hidden away. Like, there's a museum at Eldridge Street, which is one of the oldest synagogues in New York, and you kind of learn a lot about immigration and coming into the city and how once what now is predominantly Chinatown used to be a heavily Jewish community, and they just renovated a few years back, and they have these amazing stained glass windows when you walk in.
Are they Chagall windows?
I can't think off the top of my head, but it is breathtaking. It's these big, these light blue. It's beautiful.
There's a rumor, by the way. I don't know, and I don't really know if this is true. About, you know, there's this whole thing about with Jewish people wanting Chinese food. You know, that whole thing. And yeah. This is what I had heard someplace, that the reason this whole thing came into play is I think the Jews were here first, and then the Chinese people came, and the Jews wanted to welcome the Chinese people and by eating their food, by eating with them, eating their food. That's what I heard. And this forever went on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is some great stuff, and there's some great food down in Chinatown. Some other great things we have are like the Francis Tavern Museum, which is one of the oldest buildings in New York City. That's located downtown. So that's something that you might not just find, you know, because people mostly, you know, want to go to Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, top of
right.
which we all have. But there's some great museums downtown. And then stuff up around the park, like the Museum of the City of New York is one of the best museums. But it's not as hardly mentioned when you hear, like, New York tourism. And then, of course, you only, like, go up all the way to the Bronx for, like, the New York Botanical Garden or... down in Brooklyn, we have some great stuff. Not only even attractions, we offer like special offers. So special offers at the Brooklyn Winery and the Brooklyn Brewery. Just some great things that people really need to step outside of Manhattan when they get to New York.
So in other words, this is part of the pass that you can go to the winery and the brewery.
Yep, these things, because the pass doesn't stop at just free entry to attractions. We offer discounts on dining, shopping, and theater as well.
Oh, that's fabulous. So let's get it. And before we talk about some more of the places, what about the, like, does it help in, like, when there's long lines?
Yep, we have Fast Track at some of our busiest attractions. So at, like, Top of the Rock and Madame Tussauds, which tend to get really busy, there's a designated line for New York pass holders.
Oh, how many how many of those are out there? For the long line things. How many attractions?
Around 13 of our attractions are Fast Track.
Oh, that's great. Can you name them? Which ones? Just curious.
Yep. Other busy ones are big museums like American Museum of Natural History, the Intrepid Sea Air and Space Museum. The MoMA, the Guggenheim, the Met. Those are all things that are really busy, so you can just walk straight up to the will call desk where there's a New York pass and just pick up your tickets and get in.
Oh, so when you're getting, what do you actually get, like, when I'm buying this? I get this thing in the mail, correct? The package
in
the mail?
You have two options. You can get it all mailed to you, or if you'd want to just pick it up for free in the city when you get here, you can do that too.
Oh, okay. So what do I get when I'm, let's say it's mailed to me and I have it in my hands? What am I actually?
You're going to get the guidebook, which we offer in 7 different languages, and you get the physical pass card. So that way you can start planning ahead. We also have a free phone app as well to start planning. And good thing about getting it mailed out is that you can actually start booking stuff ahead, because there's also a lot of great tours in New York City, and like walking tours of Lower Manhattan or up by Central Park in the Upper West Side and Greenwich Village. So since those walking tours can only take maybe 30 people at a time, New York pass holders can also call ahead and book that, so they can make sure they take the things that they'd want to take.
So they all specify whether you have to, you know, just show up or you got to book
yep.
in advance.
Yep, it's noted in the guidebook or on our website. We have like that a little mini calendar next to the attraction, so you know this is something you should call, email, or book online ahead of time.
Now, well, there's an important question. Now, when you say 1 day, 2 days, 7 days, do
yep.
they have to be in a row?
Yes. So they work for consecutive days, and the pass activates on that first day you start to use it. So the pass kind of knows how long it's supposed to last.
Okay, so the 7 days means from that point, 7 days later, not seven separate days afterwards.
Yes. Seven days fully.
So it means when you're doing this, especially like with a seven-day pass, it means you have to really, you know, you got to plan ahead, and you know, and decide what you want to see. So you don't say, well, today I'm not going anywhere, because you want to go at least one place.
Yep. Well, it also, I mean, it depends, because if you think about the seven-day pass, we actually have a sale right now for $200. So that's just a little less than $20 a day. If you break that out. And going to Empire State Building is $25 in itself. So you could maybe visit
is it up to 25 already?
It's $25. And a Circle Line cruise is $38. So things add up fast. So with the seven-day pass, you don't even need to feel rushed, because even if you only did three things one day and then you took a day off because maybe you just wanted to go relax in the park and take in a show, you could still make up the savings within the full 7 days.
Oh, that's fabulous. And time-wise, it's just whenever you're there, it's like it's not, unless it's something that you're booking in advance, it's just you get there and that's it.
Yep, there's no limitations. As long as that attraction is open, New York pass holders are free to visit.
So let's say when I would go and I have this, and I have the pass. Now, do they stamp something? How would they know that, like, oh, I think I want to come back tomorrow?
Well, we have the New York pass holders get, it's a card with a smart chip, and every attraction has a little reader that the attraction dips the card in to say that's a valid card, and then you get
mm-hmm.
a ticket for free entry. So that's how it validates how long the pass is,
oh, okay.
and that it's still valid for you to come in and take in the museum or attraction tour.
Has it ever happened that somebody shows up and you have the pass and I say, I'm sorry, we're sold out? Can that ever happen?
It can for tours, just because they limit the amount of people. So during a busy summertime, so that's why we recommend and we let the pass holders know in advance when they're purchasing, you should book these in advance so you don't have to worry about that.
Oh, okay. So in other words, I'm just like offhand, I've like passed by like when MoMA, and I've seen like long lines of people, and you know that you could just like go up to the front and say, I have a pass, New York pass, and you know.
For the great thing at MoMA, you can go directly up to the will call desk because it's fast track, so you don't have to wait in that general ticket line with everybody else.
Okay. Oh, that's great. And
mm-hmm.
you know, that or being a journalist that can get you.
Yeah.
Right ahead. But I think that's great. So how has this been going on for like a long time?
Yep, we're entering our 13th year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand there's a sale going on right now. Is that what I'm getting?
Yep, we actually have a summer sale. That's ending this Thursday.
Oh, it's ending, in other words, the purchase ends Thursday.
The purchase, yep. The passes are, once you purchase the passes, you have up to 1 year to use them, because we know people plan ahead.
Okay, so what is let's hear about the discount then.
Okay. Well, it's a summer sale, so we have passes being sold at our 2011 prices. So our 2, 3, and 7 day passes are on sale. So you can save up to $30 right now.
Oh, okay. So in other words, let's just as an idea, the 7 day pass is which is normally what, and what is it now?
It's normally $230 if you bought it full retail price, and right now we're selling it at $200, so $30 off.
Okay. Well, that's
so you're saving already.
And yeah, that's cool. So now, how about, so there's like walking tours, and there's some things that are not like you're walking into a building kind of thing, isn't there?
Yeah, we have plenty of walking tours. So there's a Wall Street tour. You can take in the history of Wall Street. We have Insider Broadway tour. So it brings you around and gives you the history of Broadway in New York City. And then there's places like around Central Park, Greenwich Village. We don't stop at just walking. You can also rent a bike or even take a bike tour as well.
Ah, well, that's an idea. There are no tours that you're getting on and off a bus unless you're opting for.
You can opt for the
one.
Hop on, hop off bus tour.
Yeah.
We actually include the On Locations Uptown and Movie Sites tour, which is a bus tour. So you take a bus up around Uptown and learn about all the history of what movies were filmed in the area and TV shows, and you get on a bus so you can actually watch some of the videos, like, you know, the famous TV show Friends, or like movies like Spider-Man, or TV shows that are on now, like Gossip Girls.
That's really great. All right, so and we got a website?
Yep, newyorkpass.com.
Okay, and so this will, okay. So after Thursday, it's just regular price. What would you recommend? So if it's a family, that's not an adult? What's considered not an adult in terms of
a child is 4 to 12 years old for a pass.
Okay. If you're less than 4 years old, you get dragged in for free. Is that it?
Because most of the attractions don't charge for a child, so yeah, you can just carry them on in with you.
Okay. Or if you're a really, really good actor.
Just walk around on your knees and you might be able to get in.
Yeah, right. Okay. That's really great. I think it's a fabulous idea. I think I'm going to, maybe I'll try it out. Actually, what had happened is I went online looking at these places and looking at how many places I've never been to. And considering I lived been living in New York for over 60 years. Yeah.
Well, what's your favorite attraction in New York?
Well, I just go to Broadway shows. That's my favorite attraction.
That's your favorite? They're great.
Yeah. But it's interesting because when I looked at it, and you're right, it's like the Museum of the City of New York, I looked at that and I went, didn't I, like, get taken there when I was in school, maybe? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
You definitely did.
We're taking you to a museum. Oh, which one? Okay, you know? And that probably was the last time that I ever saw that. The Museum of Natural History. No, it's not called that. What's it called now? The Rose Center?
That's just a part of the museum. It's still, they've just expanded. So there's definitely the Rose Center that's included, but it's the American Museum of Natural History. Is still
okay.
There.
Oh, I remember. No, it used to be the Hayden Planetarium was the other part, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the change in there. That doesn't, by the way, just so people know, it doesn't include, like, there's an IMAX.
That's like an additional cost to a general ticket is just something that's an additional cost to you.
Right. Okay. Any other, like, places you want to push that might be of interest that people don't normally
go to?
There's
so many great things on the pass. The Discovery Times Square, which is right in the center, has so many great different exhibits that come through. Right now it is Body Worlds, and there's this really great thing called Art of the Brick, which this artist is building all these statues out of Legos, which doesn't sound impressive, but is incredible.
Okay. Well, I'm going to, get in touch with you because I want to maybe experiment with this and see.
Yeah, I'll definitely send some out. You got to try it out.
I'm going to try to see how much I can do in each day. Fortunately, I take Accessoride, so I just can say, and pick me up here, and bring me here, and then bring me here, and then bring me here.
Perfect.
So... That's great. Well, it was great talking with you and
thanks
sharing this information. I'll be blogging about it and writing about it once I do the experience of it.
Yeah.
I think it'll all be a hoot, especially to write about where the places I haven't been. I have to tell you, I have to share with you. I'm still supposed to go on a tour of places I haven't visited in Queens. And I can't tell you how long I've been living in Queens. And the tourism here is setting it up for me to do some historic buildings. And that I've never been to. I'm waiting for the heat to completely die down.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. People seem to, not care as much when they're in Manhattan. I think they'll just do anything anyway.
It's cooled off today. It was much better.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I'm going to look at the temperature and get myself back into the city, the city. It's interesting that we do that, huh? Like the other boroughs are not in New York City. Yeah. But anyway, again, I thank you for calling, and we'll get the word out there.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, Brian. Take care. Have a good evening.
Have a good one, Mo.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. So, yes, I will. I will... get my rear end out of there, out of my house, and go to some of these places. And okay, so I think now I can at least do a commercial before. That was not a commercial. I was about to press a song. Let's see. All right. You know what? Let's go into talk. I don't want to talk about food. Let's go into food. Especially lobster is one of my favorite things. Yes. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Mo. How are you doing?
Oh, just great here. My mouth is watering just thinking about what we're going to chat about. I got to tell you that.
I don't want to make you jealous, but I just left the dinner table where I just had six.
Oh, my God. You just yourself?
Just myself, yep. I brought some home the other day, cooked them up. I didn't have a chance to eat them. And I got home and opened up the fridge. The wife and the children were at the beach, and I said, oh, my dinner's all set right here. I just melted some butter and had at it.
Wow. But, okay, first I just quickly have to explain to people when he talks about six lobsters, there were six chicks or six, one or
what? That's correct.
Six
chickens, the small ones, the sweet ones, yep.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's first tell my audience, who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Stephen Haller. And I am the president of the Boston Harbor Lobstermen's Association, and I have been a commercial lobster fisherman now for 36 years.
Wow. That's great. And we'll get into what else you do afterwards. So when did you get into doing this, and why, by the way?
Well, I was 14 years old, and not that I was getting into any kind of trouble or anything, But I had an uncle who was a retired Navy SEAL, and he was a commercial lobster fisherman. And he saw me hanging on the corner with my friends, and he pulled over and came up to me and grabbed me by the cuff of the shirt and said, I'll be darned if I'm going to see you waste your life away hanging on the corner. I want you at the dock tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. You're going fishing. And that was the start of my career, and loved it. I loved the money, loved the sunshine, loved the physical labor, and it's for the love of lobster.
Wow, that's really great. So explain what it is like, you know, going out there. Like, what is, how does this all work?
A daily routine for me is I wake up at 3:30 in the morning. I'm in Boston. I live about 8 miles south of Boston, and I keep my boat in Boston, down by the Boston Fish Pier. And we collect our bait, and we put it on the boat.
Let me interrupt you. So, in other words, the boat that you're keeping is in Boston, and then you come to Quincy to sell?
That's correct. I live in Quincy.
Okay.
And because of logistics, whether it be for mechanics to buy ice, to sell lobsters to a wholesaler, retailer, all our vendors and everything are in Boston, where we get our fuel and everything. What had happened was, over the years, people would always ask me, can you bring me home some lobsters? Can you bring me home some lobsters? So I finally said, look, at Fridays from 3 to 6, I'll bring the boat to the town pier, which is only maybe a quarter mile from where I live, and you people can all come down and get your lobsters then. Because to drive the lobsters in a truck, whether you put them in a cooler and everything else, there's a chance they could die. So I don't want them to die on people. And, of course, I don't want them to die on me, because then they don't want them and I'm losing money. So with a live tank on the boat, with the water being pumped in, I just drove the boat to the town pier. And eventually word got out, and it got bigger, and it got bigger, and it got bigger, until I finally said, you know what, I think I could do this 2 days. And it's turned into quite a little, nice little thing on the side. People are getting a fresher product, and they're saving money, and I'm making a little money on top of it. So it's a win-win-win situation for everybody.
So, in other words, basically, you're going lobster fishing. Well, we can't say fishing. It's not like a rod and a reel. You're going lobster fishing out of Boston. Boston. Is that how you pronounce it?
Come on. Now, Boston was fine. You can say Boston or Boston.
Okay. As opposed to my New York accent saying Boston, you know what I mean? Which is really altogether not correct. But so, in other words, you operate from Boston, and you're doing, like, you're selling what you're fishing for.
Yep.
To places in Boston.
Yeah, I have what we call a wholesale dealer, and I fish 4 days a week. On the days I fish on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I bring those lobsters to my dealer. He's a wholesale dealer. I bring the lobsters to him. They put them in the tanks, and then they'll be shipped out somewhere across the country, all over the world. 90% of your lobsters that are caught in Massachusetts are shipped out all destinations across the country and across the world. This time of the year, we have a good shell product, which just makes it very strong for shipping. And then 2 days a week, Fridays and Saturdays, I'll fish, I'll go catch lobsters, and then I'll drive the boat about 10 miles south to the town pier in my hometown. And when I pull up, people are waiting there. They know if you come early, you get the biggest lobsters.
So before we go into, like, how, you know, the price of that kind of a thing, I want to talk about, like, because I know we had a discussion and I forgot it all. So, but I, like, remember little bits of kind of things. For instance, like, we were discussing this whole thing with people thinking that if you're getting a bigger lobster, it's better, or, you know, things like that. So what the, and when you say, like, a 1 pound is like a chick is could be sweeter. So tell me, like, why is this, you know?
Well, all the different names for lobsters are just basically another way of breaking them down into size. A 1 pound lobster is called a chick. a palm and a quarter lobster is called a quarter. And then palm and a half and larger are called selects. And then when you get up to 5 pounders, they're called jumbos or joes. And as the bigger they get, the more money they'll cost. Now, that's kind of an industry standard, because if all the lobsters were the same size, everyone would want the big ones. They would buy the big ones, and then the dealers would be stuck with all the small ones. So therefore,
right.
they break them down into price to make it an even selling point. My suggestion for people, and like I say, I've been doing this for over 30 years, and I have been on both sides of the coins. I have worked in lobster pound to learn both sides of the industry. If you say, if you came in, Merle, and you said you wanted a 1-2-pounder, okay, you cook that 2-pounder up, and you crack the shells, and you pick the meat out of it, and you put the shells, say you put your shells right here, and then the pile of meat right here. I can
right.
take 2 1-pound lobsters, cook them up, put the pile of shells here, and pile the meat. And like a shell game where you hide the ball underneath a cup, I just switch it all around. And then when the end comes down to it, you couldn't tell me what pile of meat came from the 2-pounder or the 2 1-pounders, but the 2-pound meat cost you a lot more. You know
ah.
what I'm saying? If you were having a baby shower or a birthday or an anniversary, yeah, you might want a bigger lobster because it's a celebratory event. But if you just love the taste of lobsters, I highly guarantee you can't beat the 1-pound small ones. The small ones are like the veal of the industry. It's young, it's sweet, it's not old, it's not tough. And to buy it fresh off the boat, it's, for an example, we talked to this before, if people go apple picking, I'm sure they have apple picking, you know, in the different areas in New York, out in the country and stuff like that. You have your bag of apples and you're walking out to pay for them and, you know, you got what you want. But you always grab one apple off that tree and you eat it right there, because you know, picking it off the tree, it is at its optimum freshness and sweetness. It will never get any fresher. Well, the same thing goes for a lobster. The minute you take it out of the water, you're taking it out of its natural environment. It has been fed properly. It was in the proper temperature of the water. It's not stressed out from being in with another crate of hundreds of lobsters or in tanks or stuff like that. And if you were to buy a piece of meat, you look for the marble texture of the fat in the meat. Fat is flavor. Well, the same thing applies for a lobster. If you have the fat in the meat, it tastes very, very, very sweet. If you're eating a lobster, which is a week to 10 days and up to 2 weeks, which they can last that long in captivity, they go into survival mode. They're eating all their body fats to survive because they're not eating. They're not in their natural environment where they can eat. And the lobsters are not bad. I'm not saying a lobster that's been in long captivity is bad. It is a good lobster. But when you have a lobster that comes directly off the boat, to do a comparison of them and eat one and eat the other one right away, there is a big difference.
So there's no such thing, I guess, as like getting them, putting them in a tank and like feeding them every day.
Well, you can feed them, but these tanks you can feed them, but again, these tanks are, for the most part, artificial water. It's fresh water, and then
right.
salt is added to them. It goes through puration filters because lobsters are a very finicky animal to keep alive. And, you know, some of them do die, you know, sadly. But if you can get that one, like I say, an apple off the tree, a lobster fresh off the boat, they're one and the same.
Well, that's great. You know, it was interesting that I had, we know that Stop and Shop has their locale there in Quincy. I think it's the headquarters. I'm not sure if it's
yes,
the headquarters.
Their headquarters is in Quincy Square, right in my neighborhood, yep.
Now, would you happen to know, I'm very curious, would you happen to know if they buy their lobsters, like where they get their lobsters from?
The amazing thing is, again, like I said, 90% of the lobsters that are caught in Massachusetts are shipped out of the country. Very few stay in the local market. So you have a large void that has to be filled. Well, Maine and Canada catch monstrous amounts of lobster, and the lobster up there is very, very cheap. For these big chain stores to make profits, they can buy their lobsters cheaper up in Maine or up in Canada and have them shipped down. And when they buy the lobster, they'll say, okay, I want to buy 50,000 pounds, and I want 500 pounds shipped to this store, that store, that store, that store. And then they'll still have another, you know, 20,000 pounds still left on the bill that they bought. So they're bought and they're kept in captivity up there. And then they'll say, okay, ship me down another 10,000 pounds or whatever. And again, like I'm saying, they're not bad lobsters. They do taste fine.
Yeah.
But when you can do a comparison of a lobster fresh off the boat versus one of them, my friends used to tell me all the time, and I'm like, I have to try this theory out because it's the only thing I could think of. And it was like, my gosh, there really is a big difference.
The reason I'm asking is because I had gone to Stop and Shop, and they were having a sale, and I said, all right, let me, you know, get. And it was and they only had chicks. And I went, okay. And it was really sweet. It was like, wow, this is really good. I wonder where they're getting it from. But I guess now I realize in speaking with you that it's also because they're chicks.
Right, exactly. The chicks are a small – well, like anything, the older it gets, you know, you look at the human body. You know, we get a little older, we get a little grizzler, you know, we don't have that youthful look, I guess. I mean, I'm in my 50s, so, I mean, I'm right there. I look in the mirror, and I'm like, boy, I'm starting to look a little grizzly here, you know. And, you know, I look at my sons and my daughters, and I'm like, you know, they look young and youthful. I mean, it's a fact of life in all species, I guess, you know. The younger, like a veal, like a nice meal or a steak or a veal. Baby veal, the most tender meat possible, and, of course, how they raise it. But, you know, you want that baby veal. It is the most tender, sweetest meat you're going to have. And the same goes for lobsters.
Yeah, I guess, you know, like my cat is, you know, biting my hand, like, did the face. You know, they do this little face. And I guess it was because I wasn't as tasty as I was about, like, 10 years ago. So I can certainly understand about that. I forewarn people about my sense of humor.
Did you give your cat any of the leftovers of the lobsters or the shells? I know our neighborhood cats, they love them.
No way I'm going to share the lobsters.
My father has a basset hound, and he'll come down to my boat and he'll get some lobsters for himself, and the dog literally eats two or three lobsters every time he gets them.
Wow.
He loves lobsters.
I'm assuming that you have to deshell the lobster before give it to the dog.
No, he eats the whole thing. He gives them the soft shell lobsters. The soft shell lobsters are an incredibly sweet product. You won't find them in any of the stores or anything like that because they don't have a longevity to last in the tanks, but in the springtime and in the fall, we have what they call a run on soft shell lobsters. It's when they're shedding their old shell, like a snake sheds its skin. It's growing larger and it has to get rid of its old skin. Same thing happens with lobsters. They're growing and they have to get rid of the old shell. And in the spring and the fall, we on average will catch anywhere from 50 to 75 pounds of these soft shell lobsters a day. And they are incredibly sweet. They're just, they are the veal of the industry.
Well, are they, you know, it's like when you have soft shell crabs and you can take it and just, broil the whole thing and eat it without, opening up the shell. Is that the same thing? Are you eating the shell?
It is the same thing, but the shell actually tends to be a little bit leathery. You know,
okay.
But to pick the lobster, you just peel the shell off just like you're peeling a banana. It just comes right off. Yep.
Wow.
Just comes right off, and it is delicious.
Wow, that's really great. Now, I understand that first of all, I want you to explain to people what a cull is.
Oh, a cull. If you're a person that likes lobsters, and I have a lot of regulars that come down to my boat, and a cull is a lobster that's been damaged. It's lost a claw in a fight or a storm or, you know, anything like that. And they are cheaper by the pound because people have been, you know, educated in life to you want the big lobsters and you want them to look perfect and have, you know, two claws or whatever. So culls are generally sold cheaper. Just for a comparison, when I come in, I sell all sizes of my lobsters, whether they be 1 pound, pound and a quarter, pound and a half. I'm selling them for $5.99 per pound. And then I have the culls. and the culls are only $4.50 a pound. Now, I sell them cheap like that because I want to move them. I do want people to buy them, and people know a bargain. Now, two clawed lobsters, whether you're having a birthday or having company over, yep, you put the two clawed pretty lobster on the plate, an ear of corn, and a salad. Culls are for the people that love lobster. They just cook the pot, put all the lobsters in a bowl, and everybody just start grabbing and picking the lobsters. It's just, it's the best bang for your dollar. You can get a lot more for a much cheaper price, and it's only missing one claw. Again, it's like a lobster's like a Christmas gift. If you get
right.
a two-pounder, it'll cost you $12. If you buy a cull, you can buy three of them for about $12. So you get more lobster for the buck. So if you had yourself and a friend of yours, you bought the exact same Christmas gift, but one of you spent $4 on the wrapping paper and one of you spent
right.
50 cents on the wrapping paper, it matters what's inside.
That's
you know,
good.
So the culls, yeah, so the culls are your why buy the expensive wrapping paper when you can buy the cheap wrapping paper and get just exactly the same thing.
Well, especially like in terms of like the buying as the price is going up as they're larger size lobsters,
yep.
It's like if you get, and let's just say, like if you got a 1 pound, or let's say you got a 1 pound cull, you're getting a basically 1.25 pound lobster in terms of the tail and everything else. Am I correct?
Yeah,
you're getting
exactly. So you want to buy a pound and a quarter, and it costs $5.99 per pound. Okay, so that pound and quarter is going to cost you about $8. You can get a pound and a quarter cull, and that lobster is only going to be about $5.50. So you're saving about $2.50 per lobster, and that's quite a big savings.
Oh yeah, but
you know, only because it's a little bit, you know, it's missing a claw. There's nothing wrong with the meat or anything like that.
Oh,
it's
sure.
just missing a claw. And it's
but
just
also,
as pretty.
Also, for those people who like, you know, like the tail seems to be the most important.
Yes.
You're getting a larger tail because it's a
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Like I say, if someone can. They want to buy a 4 pound lobster off me. Okay, that's going to cost $24. You can buy 4 pounds of culls, and I've done the cooking and the picking, and done all the weight measurements and comparison from small lobsters to that one big lobster, and the meat ratio to shell is all the same. So
right.
a 4 pounder is going to cost you $24. 4 culls is going to cost you $18. So you're saving. You know, you're saving $6. Well, if you're buying 15, 20 lobsters, that's a significant savings.
Sure. And then,
yep.
and not only that, then everybody gets a piece of tail.
Exactly. Exactly. Everybody, and like I say, it's just, I love when people come down to my boat and I say, you know, they'll say, give me $50 worth. And I go, what would you like? Would you like the 1 pounders or the culls? And I'll explain the price difference. It's like, oh, geez, give me the culls. You know, it's like I say, if you're coming in like that, where if there's an amount of money that you want to spend, and they're not a person that cares about how pretty it is or the two claws or anything like that. They want lobster meat. And what it comes down to is what you're buying, what's inside the shell. So there's really no reason to pay big money for shell. Just buy
okay,
the smaller lobster that's missing a claw.
When in terms of taste, do you think the male lobsters taste any different from the female lobsters?
Absolutely none. I do have people that come down and they'll say they want the female lobster or they'll say the male. They'll say they want the male lobster because sometimes female, in the infant stages of that female having eggs, there'll be a waxy substance inside the tail. And it comes right out, you know, you won't taste it or anything like that. But it's, a nuisance to some people. So they'll want the males instead of the females.
Isn't the substance the roe?
That's the roe. But it's against the law to take a lobster that has already, let's say, not hatched, but she has, I'll say the word, spit out her eggs. Her eggs are
right.
out under her tail, and they're little tiny pellets.
Right.
It's against the law to take that. It's a very big fine. I believe it's a $500 fine if you take one of those lobsters.
Right.
Well, before those eggs have matured to the point where she can extrude them and put them under her tail, they're inside her tail, and they're microscopic little tiny beads. Well, they're like a waxy substance when you cook the lobster and it's inside the tail. So people don't want to be bothered with that, so they'll ask for the male lobsters.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other end, I'll have people that will ask for female lobsters. And the reason they ask for female lobsters is they think they're getting a bigger tail. Because if you put a female lobster down on a table with its tail straight out and put a male lobster down next to her with his tail straight out, when you look down on those two tails, the female's tail is much wider. Now, if you roll them over and look at the strip of meat in that tail, in the underbelly between a male and a female, it's exactly the same. The female's tail is wider, so when she extrudes her eggs under her tail, she cups her tail and it creates a hollow ball so she can protect those eggs. You're not getting any more meat. You're actually getting more shell.
Wow, that's interesting news. Now, don't people use the, I guess if you want to call the waxy stuff, let's call it the waxy.
Yep.
Don't they use that
yep.
with them when they're making the lobster bisque?
I've tasted it. I mean, there is no flavor whatsoever to it. They'll use the tamale in the head of the lobster, which is actually the lobster's liver. They will use that. As far as the immature eggs, I've never heard of anyone using that.
Oh, okay. I thought
tamale is the green substance that's inside the head, and it's considered a delicacy. A lot of people do. They love it. Myself, like I say, I've been doing this for 36 years. I have never acquired a taste for tamale.
Well, what I wind up doing, actually, after I, you know, cook it and I'm getting into toward the head, what I do is I taste it. And sometimes it doesn't taste good. If it doesn't taste
really good,
I say, okay, I don't want it. But there's a certain time, and I have to call it a sort of sweetness. I guess that goes along with the sweetness of the rest of it. So if it has that sort of sweetness, I get, okay, this is fine. I like it. But sometimes it's, you know, that's how I can...
Well,
again,
you could be talking... Now, again, you could be talking about a lobster that's been in captivity, because if it's not eating, I mean, this is the lobster's liver. If the lobster's eating normally and it's healthy, maybe there's more... organic, I guess you could say, matter in the liver. I mean, it's been eating, but if it's in captivity and something like that, it hasn't been eating much. That could be. This is uncharted territory for me. Like I say, I've never had tamale. It's something like where I've had accessibility to such lobsters, I don't bother with it. Like people say, what do you want with your lobster? Well, of course, I want more lobster. So I've always been a claw and tail guy, and I just let the head go. When I used to work in a lobster pound, we would cook 1,000 lobsters a day, whether it be for lobster meat or orders, and we would take the lobster heads, the bodies, and we would bag them 20 in a bag and sell them for $2 a bag, and people would come in and buy
four, five, six, seven
bags. Mostly, the funny thing is, mostly it would be old Italian women who would just sit at the table and pick all that little bit of meat, tamale. They would tell me, they would sit there for hours and pick it.
Yes, there's so much meat in the rest of the body.
There is, though. There's a lot of picking involved. I guess it's kind of like, again, because I have such access to the lobsters, I'm like, well, instead of me picking all that craziness, I'm just going to grab 3 more lobsters out of my lobster tank.
Right. So I guess it's kind it's sort of the same thing as like when if you're eating chicken and how close to the bone you really want to go.
Exactly. Yep. I say, well, I've had enough of this. I'm just going to take another drumstick or something like that.
Right. That's really interesting because there were times like when I was in Provincetown and there was a place that sold lobsters, and I would come in and say, do you have any bodies? And I just like to get them and like, yeah, a couple of them in a bag and for a buck, and I'd, take them and pick them. And I used to check out to see like, okay, how much meat can I actually get from the body? And you can certainly also get from those legs, those little legs.
You can. I have in my time, have picked a few, and there is quite a significant amount of meat. It's a, you know, there is some picking involved. I mean,
sure.
You know, and it's actually very good meat too. It is very, very good meat.
Now, there's actually the only thing that you avoid is the brain, right?
The tamale. Yep, I don't eat anything.
No, not the tamale itself.
Oh.
I mean, there's only one part that you know, you can't. That's where the head is. The actual brain. That's not edible.
Yes,
up
in the front. Up in the very, very front. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's a no-no.
Have you ever heard the term "Lady of the Lobster"?
No.
You've never heard that term. Okay. The next time you have a lobster. Oh my gosh. Well, the next time you come to Boston, I'll have to do it for you. It's kind of in deep of the mouth of the lobster in the area. You pick all the shell that's away, and there's a piece inside the lobster in beyond its teeth and up by its final crushing areas before it digests the food. There's a little piece of the lobster, and you can take it out, and it's a little shade of blue on the top of it. And I swear as on my children, it looks like the Virgin Mary bent over praying. Honest to God.
Really?
It's got a shade of blue, and it looks like her hand, and it's called the Lady of the Lobster.
Oh, is that funny?
Yep. You can try it. If you do have lobster there, it's near the front of the mouth. Separate the round part of the head away from the leg area. Rinse everything out, and just pick carefully up near the mouth. Peel away the layers. And you'll come up with a little piece of the lobster, and if you look, the top of it is bluish, and then it fades down into white, and it honestly looks like the Virgin Mary praying with her hands together.
I'll have to do that the next time.
All right. I hope you find it is really it's a crazy thing. You would say like you know, but it is there. It is there.
So, but if I'm coming to Boston as opposed to Quincy, if I'm coming to Boston, it's not like I can just say, "Hey, Steve, I'm here. Give me a couple lobsters." Right?
Well, if you call me and give me an advance notice, we can. You know, I mean, if I'm in the, you know, when I'm coming into the dock, and if you're in the area, sure, we can hook him in the bar. It's a very security area. It's actually it falls under Homeland Security where we rent our space because we are near Logan Airport. But, yeah, no, we could, if you come back this way, no, we can definitely get together. Or if you find yourself in Quincy again, we could do that. I mean, I'll take you to my house. We'll cook up a few lobsters, and we'll look for the lady and the lobster.
All right. We'll do that. That's cool. Well, okay, anything else we need to know about lobsters?
You buy them off the boat, you will get a much cheaper price. And they are absolutely delicious. And, you know, what we do as a campaign around here, too, is, you know, like the farmers markets, you buy local, buy fresh. And the same thing falls into with the lobster fishermen. You buy local, you buy fresh. We're basically a farm stand on the water.
Okay. That's great. Well, thanks for, chatting with us. I really appreciate it.
Not at all.
And, yeah, I think I'll, after this, maybe, all right, I'll virtually eat a lobster. I'll go online and, like, look at it and do it, you know, make believe I don't suffer. But by the way, just so people know, it's in the part of the Quincy is Housneck.
Housneck, that's correct. Yep, Housneck, a small fishing town. In its heydays, it was an amazing. Actually, we had two boat rentals up here, right where you saw me, where you came down.
Mm-hmm.
There were two boat rentals and busloads of gentlemen from New York and New Jersey. They would come up by bus by the hundreds, and they would rent fishing boats, and they would go out and catch buckets and buckets of flounders back in the day. And as a young fellow when I was fishing in my early years, I used to take all the carcasses from the flounders that they caught, and I use that for bait. Nothing's ever wasted. But sadly, with everything being depleted in the times, sadly we don't have those boat rentals anymore, but we still have a thriving lobster industry.
That's great. That That and fireworks on the 3rd of July.
Yes, did you catch the 3rd of July up here?
Yeah, I did. That's when I was there.
Did you go to Edgewater Drive?
Yes, that's where I went.
Oh, okay, kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah, I have a friend that lives on Turner Street.
Yes, Turner Street. I'm right down the street from Turner Street, yep.
Oh, yeah, that's, and it's like, I guess, like, just not even a block away from Edgewood.
From the fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's quite an event down here.
Yeah, I'm going to send him over to your boat so he can get a couple of lobsters. He's really not like, it's not as, I don't think it's as important to him as it is to me. Like, you know,
yeah.
Probably having grown up in both Howes Neck and then, you know, other areas of Massachusetts and things like that, probably at some point it was like, yeah, it's lobster. You know, me.
Yeah.
You know.
It is funny where I get regular customers every week, and honest to goodness, they'll spend $100 every weekend. And I'll see them coming, and I'm like, wow, yep, oh, let me have some more. I go, okay.
Okay, fabulous. All right, thanks again, and hopefully I'll get my tuchus up there again. And,
all right, bro.
And indulge. And this way, because I would be really interested in tasting, like, the difference. And, you know,
yep.
What will happen is then I'll go back to New York and go, I don't want to eat lobster anymore because it's not as good.
Well,
yeah.
Like I say, I mean, lobsters, you'll get, you know, they are good. But when you can do the comparison, you'll be like, wow. It is great. It really, really is. But you have my Facebook, you have my webpage, and you have my phone number, Merle. So I hope to see you again up this way. It's always good to have people come visit what we call God's country up here.
Yeah, okay. Have a great evening, Steve.
You too, dear. It's my oldest daughter's birthday, so I think they're cutting
the
cake out there. No, it was funny because I was calling you and they said, oh, quick, we got to sing happy birthday. And they go, okay.
Okay.
Well, you take care now, dear. It was great talking to you.
Oh, same here. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, yeah, well, it's not that I can have lobster right now. All right. Now we're going to continue talking about food as if I haven't talked about food enough. But that's okay. We're going to talk about food, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes. Peanuts and peanut butter?
Yes, peanut butter.
Well,
all
not exactly.
Peanut butter.
Well, I have to tell you, like I don't have enough room on my desk for all your products.
I know, there's a lot.
It's okay. I kind of like, I will, from memory of tasting. First, I want you to explain your whole company, and then we'll go in. Then we'll go into the products.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, we started out in the wholesale nut and candy business 75 years ago, and it ended up turning more into just doing like a retail nut and candy, and then we started doing peanut butter, and we got really creative with it. Not only did we do peanuts, but we branched out and did almond butter and cashew butter, and then we started adding funky flavors and creative different spins on the traditional, and it slowly got to be something where that is our main focus now. And we really got into the healthy aspect of it and also into the fun aspect of it. Now we have over 40 flavors.
Wow. Thank goodness I don't have a sample of each. But as a matter of fact, this is actually, okay, I just want to share what the issue is with me. Let's see, number one, I'm not a bread eater. So I'm going, what am I going to put this on? What am I going to put this on? And I just like, oh, the hell with it. And there comes the spoon. and I just go into the jar and eat like approximately what I would have put on the piece of bread.
Sure.
And that, you know. Okay, so one of the things, and just correct me, is you don't, because a lot of companies that sell peanut butter add sugar.
Right.
And,
right. Yep.
And it's you add only a little sugar, depending on what the product is. I have to say, what I
yeah.
mean is like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, basically, we have all the different nuts on their own. We have like a spectrum of flavors where we have the healthy flavors, and then we have flavors that are still healthy and still have a lot of nutrients in them, but are a little bit more fun, we like to call them. So for instance, we have a regular peanut butter cream and a crunchy. We have Keeping It Smooth and Beat Me to the Crunch. And that those two only have peanuts as the only ingredient. And then we do a banana peanut butter where it does have some sugar. It's an organic sugar and then dried banana. But it's not, I mean, it's still only 4 grams of sugar for 2 tablespoons. So it's not sickeningly sweet.
Right.
And it's not too bad, you know, by way of like spiking up blood sugar levels. I mean, some diabetics can still, you know, they know their levels that they need, and they can do a 4 grams for 2 tablespoons.
Right.
So.
Okay. So we have let's talk about, like, in terms of the normal kind of butters that you have, meaning just plain.
Sure.
So you also have an almond butter, cashew butter.
Yes. Yep. We have a sunflower seed butter, a pumpkin seed butter, and then we do a variety of raw butters. Raw is really in right now, where people are looking to eat. There's an entire group of people out there that want to eat raw food, and their entire diet is made up of raw food. So we do a raw walnut butter, we do a raw Brazil nut butter, we do a raw almond, a raw coconut, and all of those butters, the only ingredient is the seed or the nut. It's just one ingredient, no oils.
So in other words, just so people understand, because I understand, like, when I'm trying to explain to people how chocolate is made. I get to the part where you have the nibs, and I say, now you're taking the nibs and you're grinding them up as if, like, if you took peanuts to make peanut butter.
Exactly. Yep.
So with all of the nuts you have, they all contain their own oils, and therefore you don't need to add anything.
That's
is
correct.
That,
A lot of times people, when you try to make nut butter at home, it doesn't work out as well. You put it in a food processor or a blender, and you have to add a little bit of oil to try to draw out some of the natural oil and get it to start to turn into butter. You need to add that little bit of oil to get it going. But with the machine that we have, our machinery is an old-fashioned machine that still works better than any machine you can buy today. It pulverizes the nut and draws out the natural oil to turn it into butter without adding anything.
It was from this thing called La Machine, and I used to have a part to that machine where I was able to make peanut butter, and it would come out totally creamy. Or I was able to actually take nibs, chocolate nibs, and come out as the paste for the liquor.
That's awesome.
So that I can just add the sugar and whatever. And this is the panic when I am in need of chocolate stage, when I wanted that, you know. As a matter of fact, so you'll appreciate it, there was a time I was doing this, and I went to this event, and I came home, and I had the beans, that's what I had, the cacao beans. And I'm going,
let's see.
I'm now going to roast them, take off the shell, chop it up. And I said, because I was in the mood for chocolate pudding. And I did all that for chocolate pudding.
From scratch.
From scratch. Really from scratch.
Really, it's from scratch as it comes.
But anyway, so let's go into the pairing of them. In other words, we now have some peanut butters that are paired with chocolate.
Yes, we have quite a few chocolate flavors. Actually, we do a peanut with chocolate. We call it the dark side of the peanut.
Mm-hmm.
We do a hazelnut with chocolate. We call that chocolate haze. That one's most similar to Nutella, but with significantly less sugar. And every one of our nut butters are vegan, whereas Nutella has a lot of dairy fillers and different corn syrups and things. And ours is just hazelnuts and chocolate. We have a chocolate almond with coconut, which is kind of like a spreadable almond joy type of flavor.
I have to tell you about that. Like, I looked at that one, I went, I don't think I'm going to like it, but let me taste it. And I went, oh, wow, this is really great. That spoonful for dessert, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you don't need to eat cookies or pies.
Oh,
or,
no.
You know,
just
a
like,
spoonful satisfies,
just,
sure.
Just nurse the spoonful, though. You know, like, or just make-believe, like, you just have a truffle, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, so continue.
So what else do we have? Let me think. Oh, we have a coconut with chocolate. And actually, that gets into the raw. We have the coconut with the raw chocolate and agave syrup. And that one is a completely raw product. It's not like the chocolate that's processed with the sugar. It's the raw in its raw state, and it has the agave syrup as the sweetener. We also have a s'mores, which is probably one of our most popular. It's the chocolate peanut butter layered with vegan marshmallow and crushed graham crackers, and that one is all you need is a spoon and a movie. That's it. People ask, you know, what should I put this on? You don't need to put it on anything. You can just eat it with a spoon. But if you did feel the desire to put it on something, you can put it on muffins and fruits and toast and ice cream and use it as a frosting.
Wow. So let's also get into – then there was one that had I'm doing recall because I'm not near the refrigerator. Oh, by the way, I put – and I don't know whether to assume or not. Any ones that I've opened, I put in the refrigerator afterwards. Any ones that I haven't opened are not refrigerated. Is that okay?
Yeah, actually, you don't even have to refrigerate them. They're fine at room temp. They are dry roasted, so there's no risk of, and everything in it, there's nothing that is dairy or that can go bad. Everything's non-dairy. So it's fine at room temp. I guess the only things that you may want to worry about, I guess if you were to take a spoon, lick it, and then stick it back in the jar, that might be something you wanted to refrigerate. You'd be shocked at how many people do that because they want to. It's so addictive, they got to keep going back for more. The raw nut butters, they need to be refrigerated afterwards because they're raw.
Oh, okay.
But I don't – They're specific, though.
Then there was one, something that had cinnamon in it.
We have a few different kinds of cinnamon ones, too. We have a cinnamon almond butter called Sinfully Sweet. We have a cinnamon raisin peanut butter called Raisin the Roof. And we have a cinnamon granola.
Okay, I think Raisin the Roof is the one I got, yeah.
Yeah, that one is one of the first flavors we ever made. It's tried and true. People love it in oatmeal. That's the most popular thing. People melt it in their oatmeal.
Oh, so, okay. Before, we'll get into cooking with these things in a minute. Then you also have, as a matter of fact, you have a, we'll call it a savory one, that's probably best for cooking, right?
Yes, the open sesame. The open sesame is a Thai-inspired flavor with ginger and coconut and ground chilies and garlic. It's, and of course, sesame seeds. It's fantastic in stir fries and peanut sauces, noodles. Put it over rice. You can actually just dip vegetables in it. It's great for a dip. You cut up some carrots, celery, broccoli, stick it out on a table at a party. People dip. It's really versatile.
That sounds like it's especially great for, like, chicken.
Yeah, people grill with it. And actually a customer had told me that she puts it in her chicken salad with mayonnaise. She puts a little bit of it, and she says it's phenomenal that way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't think about it. Just add that to a little bit of that to the chicken salad. I'll have to try that too.
Yeah, our customers are very creative.
Then we also have some that are. There is stuff in there good for you, if you know what I'm talking about.
Healthy Blends line. We call them the Healthy Blends because they are blends that are targeted for certain parts of the body. So they are a blend of nuts, seeds, and dried fruits to promote healthy bones, healthy muscles. We have a healthy brain and a healthy heart. They are all completely different, where they start out with peanuts and almonds, and they branch off from there. For instance, the heart one has peanuts, almonds, hazelnuts, pecans, chia seeds, hemp seeds, goji berries, dried banana, sprouted alfalfa seeds, flax seeds, golden flax seeds. And they are chunky blends. And basically, if you were to buy all those ingredients, like Dr. Oz tells you to, you'd put it in your cabinet. It'd cost you $100. You may never use them all. This way you get your 2 tablespoons on your English muffin in the morning, and you get all those nutrients that you need to get every day.
Now, and those kind, I guess, aren't as, if you want to call fun, meaning, in other words, there aren't the kinds that you would, like, take the spoonful of and deliciously eat it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The nuts are kind of sweet on their own, but there's no sugar added or anything. So it's just, people put it on the English muffin, they put it in oatmeal, they put it in a smoothie. That's really popular. People put peanut butter and nut butters in smoothies to get their protein, especially if they're going to the gym or, you know, on the way to work in the morning. You could eat a spoonful, but it's not like eating a spoonful of s'mores, that's for sure. But it's still peanut butter, and it tastes good.
Right. You know, I'm going to try that. Like when I make a smoothie I usually take some frozen berries, and and I wind up using yogurt. The flavor is, I guess they call it vanilla, and it's like vanilla yogurt. It's low fat, and it's got banana puree in it as well. So I usually combine that with berries. But that would be interesting to just for the both the, for the protein and for everything else that's in it to throw in, you know, a spoonful or so of the peanut butter.
Yeah, it'd be like an Elvis smoothie, peanut butter and banana.
Yes. Okay, I'll have to try that. Yeah, I was like the one with the banana chips. I was a little disappointed because I didn't really want to crunch on something. I went, I was hoping it would be like a banana puree or something like that. But that's okay.
That was a crunchy.
Yeah, I could put that in the smoothie and it'll chop it all up pretty good.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. That would.
So now let me ask you a question. In terms of people in terms of allergies, is it peanuts in particular that people are allergic to, or nuts in general when people have these allergies?
It's funny. There's allergies for everything. I've come across people that are allergic to peanuts, and then other people that can have peanuts and they're allergic to all tree nuts, meaning like cashews, almonds, pecans, walnuts. I've come across people that are just allergic to cashews, just allergic to walnuts, and we process all of those nuts in our facility. So unfortunately, we can't guarantee that something
right.
didn't cross-contaminate. But we do try very hard to not have that happen. But with especially with pistachios and cashews, and those particular nuts are a part of the poison sumac family. So people are more likely to react to that than they are some of the other tree nuts. But one thing I've never seen people be allergic to is the sunflower seeds. I've never seen anybody allergic to sunflower seed and actually pumpkin seed too. But again, it could have cross-contaminated. So I tend to get on the worried side of that. Not recommend it for them.
Well, I some time ago, I was wondering, like, why is it that, you know, you can get peanuts in a shell and a lot of others in the shell, and you can't get cashews in the shell? And then I went online to find out, whoa, you can't touch the pods with your hands.
That's right. In fact, raw cashews have to be smoked, even if they're never quite raw due to the fact of that poisonous oil around them. We have to kind of smoke that off so that it doesn't affect people when they eat it.
Gee, I wonder, like, what it took for somebody to realize. How many people died before they found out that this was true?
it's funny, too. If you look up cashews, people that are native to the country that the cashews are grown in, they can open them up easier than we can here in the United States because we're not used to it. It's something that, you know, you it affects your skin even, touching it, the oil.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
It's really interesting.
So, now, are the butters that you sell available at stores, or is this you got to go online?
It's available at ShopRite, but online is a great spot, too, at peanutprincipal.com. All of them are available online, and we do post office shipping and UPS shipping, so you can pick the best way to get it to you.
And so they're not, let's say, available at, like, what's the places, like... Yes, with all the organic, the grocery store. Whole Foods, yeah.
Whole Foods, we are starting the process right now. So we are not there yet, but in the future, we hope to be, for sure.
Okay. So I guess that means you're not available at the Fairway Markets either, huh?
Not yet.
I guess I'll have something to say about it.
We appreciate that.
Well, I guess what happened was that I found this ice cream that I really loved, and I'm a chocolate lover, and when it comes to ice cream, you know, when the chocolate chips you come into play, and I would always, like, I'd have something and I go, I know this chocolate, but I'm tasting something else, like palm oil or coconut oil. And I would always take that. It would always, like, always get to my taste buds. And I said, I can't,
sure.
I don't understand, you know, why they're putting this in. And this one particular company called Grater's Ice Cream, coming out of Ohio, had this ice cream, and I had this, oh, they put chunks in there, and I'm going, wow, this is really good. It's funny, I don't taste palm oil or coconut oil. And as it turned out, they use a little soy oil. And I went, I'll never see this again, you know, because it's in Ohio. And eventually I saw it at a Stop and Shop. And I had this, and it's a high-end ice cream. And I said, no, this needs to be at Fairway Markets because it's a high-end ice cream. And it took me about a year. Now they're in all 12 Fairway Markets.
Fabulous. That's awesome.
So, like, now I'm going to be on the case of the peanut butters to see if they can have
great.
Them.
That would be
because,
great. We would love
it. Because this is a type of store that people expect to spend the money and get, you know, high quality stuff. You know, and not
sure.
that I mean as opposed to like a ShopRite, you know. So
mm-hmm.
this is I'll look into this as far as that.
We really
think,
appreciate that.
Yeah, I think this is great. This is great stuff. Now I'm going to have to do a smoothie. Either that or just, okay, I'll have a spoonful of one of them. I'll think. So what's the, and the website is?
Peanutprincipal.com. And it's,
okay, and Peanut Principal
peanut like
spelled?
P-E-A-N-U-T.
Yep.
PRINCIPLE.com.
Okay.
Like the scientific principal instead of the principal of a school.
As opposed to the Peter principal.
Right.
Okay. All right. That's fine. What I'm going to do is, I think, you know, I don't remember. I don't know if I blogged this yet. But I will get to blogging it because I want to at least try to get, you know, taste as many as possible. Oh, there was the very berry one.
Oh, yeah, the very berry one is awesome. That one is our antioxidant peanut butter. It has over 10 berries in every jar. And when I say 10 berries, I don't mean 10 actual berries. I mean 10 different kinds of berry. So it's got blueberry, strawberry, raspberry, blackberry, cherry, cranberry. And then we put some goji berries, gooseberries, pomegranate, acai, mulberries. I mean, really unique berries. And it's like eating peanut butter with the jelly all in one. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yes, that's what that's what it kind of tastes like. I'm not a peanut butter eater, and it's all just so fabulous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and great. It's you know, for the protein too, an alternative.
Yeah.
When you don't feel like cooking meat.
That's right. And it has so much vitamin C and antioxidants in that berry one. It's great if you got a cold even. You get so much jam-packed in 2 tablespoons.
I will remember that. I'm going to put a little note on this, on that one. It's medicine for cold.
That's right.
Okay. I really appreciate you calling in and sharing this with us.
Thank you.
Because, yes, I need to get to the part about writing about this now. Now that
that'd be great.
Gotten to the point, because I want to share this with everybody. Anytime
Thank
I find
so
something
much.
That's really good. Yeah, it's my thing. It's like I find something really, like, good. I want people. Mm-hmm. I don't want it all to myself. And the reason
nice
I don't want it all to myself is I always look at it like, wait a minute, if you don't sell enough, you're going to go out of business, and then I won't be able to have. So I got to keep. That's how I look. Very selfish. I have to keep people
in business. Ulterior motive.
Just so I can have it. That's it.
Yeah, an ulterior motive.
Yeah. All right, Shannon. Again, I so appreciate you sharing all the information with us. I'm going to probably end my show early and then, you know, go off and have some.
I'll do sure.
One of the
Thanks
butters.
Thanks so much for having us call in. We love it. Thank you.
Okay, great. And have an absolutely wonderful evening.
You too now.
Okay, bye-bye, Shannon.
All right, bye-bye.
Yes. Oh, I definitely have to get to having that. You know what I forgot about? You know, I was going to have Megabus call in. That's who I wanted. I wish I had, I don't know if I have a phone number for them. I don't think so. Where's my Megabus thing? I'm looking at my email to see if there's, who was I going to have? Megabus. Oh, it goes back to another email. Yeah, I do more than one thing at a time. Let's see. Oh, there's so many things coming up, I have to tell you. Okay, I have a feeling, all right, I don't know what happened. I don't think they could, were able to call in at the time, and I want to just call, like, just anybody, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I really, I think it's a little music time, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's a little music time. Let's go for the Flesh Failures, only because I want something a little hip at the moment.
We starve, look at one another, short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smells from laboratories, facing a dying nation of moving paper fantasy, listening for the new total lies, with supreme visions of lonely tunes. Somewhere inside something there is a rush of greatness, who knows what stands in front of our lives. I fashion my future
for a minute, because I have somebody else calling in. Who do I have calling in?
Guess who, Meryl? Mike Alec with Megabus.com.
I'm so glad, because I'm going, I wanted them on and I didn't schedule them. Oh my God, thank God. I'm so glad, because I'm thinking, did you hear me say I got to find their phone number?
I've been listening to your lobster guy and I learned all kinds of stuff. And then I was listening to the lady with the nuts and I thought, my God, I'm in the wrong business.
Yes,
Meryl,
I definitely want.
Meryl, can you hear me okay on? Can you hear me okay on this phone? Because this is a cell phone. It'd be better if you called me back on a landline if we still have time to talk.
Yeah, we have time to talk, and you sound fine.
Oh, okay, good. I'll use
would
this
you,
phone.
Would you rather that I call you on a landline? That's up to you. I mean,
yeah,
it's,
that was the phone number.
To me. Oh, wait,
that
let
was
me
the phone number.
Down.
Yeah, dial this
okay.
number. You ready?
Yep.
It's 212.
Yep.
308.
Yep.
2325.
2325. Okay, I'm going to go on here that has the dial the phone number thing and put this in here. Eight. 2325, and I'm dialing, and then you'll pick up the phone there. Let's see if you get it. It's ringing.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right, this is better.
Okay. That's great. All right. Yes, I really want to talk about that whole thing was, you know, this thing Megabus. I'm telling everybody. I am, like, telling the world all about Megabus.
Well, bless your heart. We really appreciate that. We have a story, I think, to tell people.
The thing is, okay, I'm going to let you talk because I'm going to brag. So I'm going to let you talk about how this, you know, how this came into play and how this thing works.
Well, Megabus.com is a subsidiary of Coach USA, which is one of the largest express bus companies and overall bus companies in the United States. And Coach USA, in turn, is owned by the Stagecoach Group, which is headquartered in Perth, Scotland, believe it or not. And back about 10 years ago, the Megabus concept, which was intercity express bus travel on state-of-the-art buses for as low as £1, actually, was created in Scotland and was introduced in Scotland and became so successful that it was extended to England. Again, the same concept, traveling on express city-to-city buses for as low as £1. It really took off. So much so that the Stagecoach folks decided, let's bring it over to North America and introduce this brand in the United States, because they felt there was a real market in the United States for 21st century bus travel. They felt that bus travel in the USA has kind of got worn around the edges over the past years. And so in April 2006, we introduced Megabus.com in Chicago. And we offered a number of bus routes in and out of Chicago, like a hub and spoke system, where you could travel anywhere to those cities for as low as $1 with free Wi-Fi, power outlets, clean bathrooms, deluxe buses, seat belts. And you were able to check 50 pounds of bags without having to pay for it and put a small bag under your seat. And lo and behold, people came. And the American consumer was almost waiting for something like this. And they saw, they just couldn't believe that you really got value and you can get it for as low as $1. And so that was just about 7 years ago. And in about a week or two, we're going to say hello to customer number 28 million. We've carried 28 million people over the past short 7 years. We are now going, Megabus.com now goes to 100 cities in the United States. Out of 12 hubs, Chicago was the first hub. Then came New York, then Philadelphia, then the Washington, D.C. and Boston, Pittsburgh. Then we started Toronto, Atlanta, and we introduced Texas in the summer of last year, Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio, again, going in and out of those cities, that hub and spoke idea, like airlines do. And then in December, we began service in Los Angeles and San Francisco to cities in California and Nevada. You could go to Reno, Las Vegas, Riverside, a number of cities, again, for as low as $1. And now we use double-decker buses. These are state-of-the-art vehicles. They come from Brussels, carry 77 people. There are two decks. And, of course, you know that because you've been on a couple of our buses, I know.
Yeah.
And one of the decks downstairs have tables between the seats. And we have the largest double-decker fleet in America.
Wow.
And so all of a sudden, we have changed the way, at least according to the people who study our industry, they claim, that, based on the research they have done with American travelers, that we have changed the way Americans feel about traveling by bus. And we're finding more and more people are coming to us who've never traveled on a bus or hadn't traveled on it for years, and because they thought the experience was going to be something less than satisfactory. And they're blown away after that first trip. They couldn't believe it, especially when you can get very, very low fares. So what did you think when you traveled on Megabus?
Well, my first, the first impression when I went inside the bus was like, wow, these seats are not your normal, disgusting bus seats.
But you see what you're saying? A lot of people felt that way, you know?
Yeah.
And you didn't need to feel that way, right?
They're more like they're bucket seats, more like, you know, like if, when you're on an airline kind of thing.
They're very comfortable. Now, I must tell you, I'm 6'3", and I'm big, and when I sit in those seats, I even have knee room, which is really kind of neat.
That's true. I didn't think about that. But also, if you recline, they go farther down than most airline seats.
And we have three-point seat belts, not just the simple lap belts that you get on an airplane. We have seat belts like you get in a car, go across your chest as well.
You do? I never.
Absolutely.
The next time I go, I have to put the seat belt on.
Yes, right down by your side. It'll be right down by the side of your seat, and you just put it right across your chest and buckle it in. Very comfortable.
Oh, that's why maybe that I was having difficulty trying to put it on. I'm going, I don't know how it goes in, where it goes, whatever. But
imagine it's like a car seatbelt where it's just that way.
Right. And that's, by the way, that's very smart. I don't think your average, I don't think any of the buses do that, do they?
Well, you're right. Most of the buses don't. Now that they've seen what we've done, a lot of the bus companies, when they buy new buses, they're starting to equip them with seatbelts, and we're delighted to see that. Of course, that makes families feel good too, because when they're bringing their kids on board the buses, I mean, they're concerned about safety, and so that helps. We think that helps also convince folks that it's time to leave that SUV in the garage. That's actually our biggest competitor. not another bus company, but the car is our biggest
competitor.
And we're again, our research shows us that we're getting more people who used to drive, because what they're finding is that by taking a megabus.com trip from city, we go city center to city center, just like if you were driving a car, that it goes as fast as the car, and it's much more comfortable and convenient. If you have kids, I mean, they're like, it's to them, it's an adventure. With the price of gas being what it is today, I think it just hit $4 a gallon average in a lot of states. Plus, you're paying tolls and you're paying parking fees, and there's wear and tear on your car. But almost more importantly, there's wear and tear on mom and dad. You know, when you're driving, it's not comfortable to drive nowadays. It's a hassle. When you're on the bus, you can relax and get there without the hassle of driving.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about. I kind of ask you about the suspension system, because it doesn't feel like a regular bus. It doesn't ride like it's. I find it rides a little more as if it was one of those, you know, a bus that was run by electric or something. It seems to be a lot smoother. Why?
It is. And again, it's state of the art. These brand new vehicles, all the technology, all the development of these vehicles over the years, you're experiencing. And you're right. It's a very smooth and comfortable ride. And not only that, by the way, those buses, all of our double-decker buses, megabus.com buses, are green certified. They burn low sulfur gases. They have other filters that reduce the carbon exhaust. We are actually reducing the carbon footprint around the country, because every time somebody rides a megabus who used to drive a car, that car isn't burning gas anymore. Plus, we're reducing traffic congestion on the highways. And there are a lot of people who want to support services that have a green commitment to them. And our megabus.com double-deckers do as well. So, and by the way, all of our buses are GPS tracked from a central command center in our headquarters in Paramus, New Jersey. Now, the value to you as a customer is this. We always know where those buses are and what they're doing. And one of the things that we decided because of that technology was to remove another form of stress that people get when they travel. Let's assume you're in a car or on a bus, and you look out the window and you suddenly see a big traffic jam ahead of you, right? Might be a mile down the road. Could have been somebody had a flat tire, or there's a construction, or maybe there's some weather coming, right? Now you're going to be delayed. So people begin to worry because they were going to meet somebody when they got to their destination. Now they're not going to be able to meet them on time. Or they may have had an event they were going to, or they're going to attend some other sports kind of thing that they had to be at a certain time. Now what do? You start making phone calls to people to try to find out what's going on. But everybody's making the phone call, so you get busy. So it's a stressful event. What we decided to do was, about a year ago, to create a Megabus-free tracking app. So that since we have free Wi-Fi on all our buses and we have power outlets, you can have your handheld device or an iPad or an iPod or a laptop, just put in a couple of pieces of information about your trip, and we will tell you, our command center will tell you what your revised arrival time will be. Now you can call that person on the other end and tell them, or you'll know and be able to make alternate arrangements, and that also takes stress out of a bus trip. I don't think any other bus company in America does that.
Wow, that's
really
great.
And that's the way we... Well, you know, we don't look at you as a passenger. We really think you're more of a customer. There's a difference in our opinion. And we believe in building relationships with our customers. You know, we don't just want to take you from point A to point B. We want to know how you feel. We want to know what your opinions are. We want to have some fun together. We want to create you're not going to believe I'm going to say this. We want to create a serene experience where it shouldn't have to be stressful. And we think we're doing that. And to help us see that we're doing that, we decided to talk to our customers a lot. So back, I guess, was it about 3 years ago now, we started a Facebook site and a Twitter site and a Tumblr site where we could talk to each other, right? And we didn't have any idea whether anybody was going to want to become a Facebook friend of a bus company. You know, we were a bus company.
Yeah.
And they were, like you said, you know, before, the people didn't have the greatest opinion of bus companies for a while. But once they saw what Megabus.com was about, suddenly we were getting friends. We now have 151,000 friends on our Facebook page. Can you imagine? Merle. And on our Twitter page, we have over 20,000 people who tweet with us. And on our Tumblr page, which I'll explain later, we're building more and more relationships. So, and people tell us what we're doing right. They tell us what we need to do to grow further. They tell us what we do need to do to get better. And when we and we have contests with them, we have fun events with them, and we find that that starts to build word of mouth. That's probably the best, the most popular way I think people find out about Megabus.com is not through advertising and promotion, but word of mouth. That's what the research shows us. And to us, that's the biggest compliment you can get when you have a friend, a friend or a family member who says, "Hey, you got to try these guys. You're not going to believe it for the price you pay. Unbelievable."
Yeah.
And it works.
Also,
so
by the way, one of the things that I also wanted to mention, because of something that I noticed, the bus drivers don't, like, go 80 miles an hour.
These bus drivers, you know, bus drivers are key parts of our operation. It isn't just the buses, it's our staff. And we hire people, we put them through psychological tests before we even hire them to train them. And then they go through 200 hours of training. 70 of those 200 hours are actually behind the wheel of the bus, and we even video them as they're driving so that at the end of every trip they can evaluate and analyze how well they did with their supervisor. And speed control, of course, is an important element, as well as safety. Now, these drivers have to drive in three dimensions, not just looking at what's in front of them and what's behind them. But these buses are over 13 feet high, so they need to be aware of that too. So the bus routes that we create in advance ensure the fact that these buses can always deal in these dimensions, and we take a lot of pride in our bus drivers, our dispatchers, and the whole team behind the scenes that the everyday customer doesn't ever see, but that make it all happen. Even the people who unload and load the buses are as important a part of our operation as the drivers and everyone else.
Yes, one of the things I did notice in terms of the putting on the luggage is that there's actually like two spaces, one to house the big luggage and one to house the smaller luggage kind of thing.
Double-deckers, the luggage is in the back, and it has a number of levels back there to accommodate bags. And so, that's part of it. And you notice we have also male and female bus drivers, too. It isn't just all male drivers. And, we believe there are a lot of talented people out there, and you need a lot of talented people when you're operating. You know, we've carried 28 million people, Merrill. 28 million people.
Wow.
That's thousands of miles that you drive, and it's a challenge, particularly when the weather gets rough. I mean, we've gone through some very extreme weather starting last winter. You know, we had some of the worst storms. Then we had Sandy. Then we had rain, and then we had snowstorms. So we have to operate under all conditions. And we're able to do that, and that's to the deals with the professionalism of our staff and the people who train them as well. What I was going to say, Merle, is what really attracted people to Megabus initially was the price. They said $1. What are you, crazy? It's a gimmick, right? And we had to tell people time and again it isn't. We literally have fares from $1 plus a booking fee, and if those $1 fares are on all our buses to all our destinations all the time. And we use what's called a yield management tool, like the airlines do. Actually, hotels and car rental companies use it as well. There are just so many $1 seats on every bus, right?
Right.
And then once those $1 seats sell out, then the fare goes up to the next plateau. Could be $3. Once the $3 seats sell out, goes up to the next level. Could be $5 and so forth.
What would you say would be like, suppose I wanted to make sure to see that I can get a $1 seat. What would be the best way to do that?
Ah, what are the secrets? Well, it's really very easy. If you can make your travel arrangements 30 to 45 days in advance, you can get the $1 fare. But if you can't get the $1 fare, there are always $3 fares, $5, $7. I mean, every one of our fares is significantly discounted. So that if you compared them to airline fare, say, and people are starting to compare us to airline trips now on the shorter airline flights. We're like 70% less than airline fares. Look what happens when you take a flight. You have to go to an airport maybe an hour to an hour and a half early to go through security. Then you get on your flight. maybe you'll get to your destination on time, because sometimes you don't. Sometimes there's weather, sometimes a mechanical problem, or air traffic, right? Once you get to your destination, you're at an airport. So now you still have to get downtown. Our buses are downtown to downtown, or city center to city center. So we're close to taking you from one city to another, almost like some airlines do, without paying all that cost and without you having to pay for luggage and all these other ancillary fees that you're having to pay nowadays.
And you're also traveling to places where there's no airline.
Ah, yes, or no rail. Rail doesn't go everywhere either. Well, we're going to 100 cities around the USA. So if somebody wanted to know what cities we go to, they simply go on megabus.com on their website or on their handheld device. And they can book us, by the way, on a handheld device as well as on their computer. You can book, and you know, when you check in for a megabus.com trip, you can take a copy. You just print out a copy of your confirmation and show it to the driver, because he's got a manifest. Or what a lot of people do, they hold up their cell phone, which has the confirmation number on it, you know, and shows it to the driver. He checks the manifest.
Yes,
and onboard.
That.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is the 21st century way to travel. And before I called you, now when you took us, you went to Providence and you did a Boston, New York trip, right?
Yes.
Okay. So before I called, I just turned on the megabus.com website and I took a look. And I said, okay, remember, one of the secrets to getting the low fares is booking 30 to 45 days in advance. Another insider travel tip is, if your plans are flexible enough and you can travel on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Saturdays, you would have more of an opportunity for the lower fares, because fewer people travel on those days. A lot of people want to travel on the weekends, right? So I went on the computer and I said, all right, let's say I have a trip that's going from New York to Providence, and I'm going to be traveling October 8th, which is a Tuesday, coming back on the 12th. Now, what happens when you put that on the megabus.com homepage, up pops the bus departures and up pops the fares, right? So if you're going on the 8th, coming back on the 12th, the fares on the 8th are as low as $3 right now. And coming back on the 12th, they're from $3 to $17. Now, I did the same thing for Washington, D.C. What if you were going New York to Washington on those same dates, October 8th to 12th? The fares are still $1 to Washington, but coming back, they're $3. And what does that say? That says that the $1 fare is already sold out, right?
Right.
I did the same thing to Philadelphia. Same dates, October 18th to 12th. And you can go down to Philadelphia from New York for $1, but coming back, the lowest fare is now $5. I did it to Pittsburgh. All the $1 fares and the $3 fares are gone on those dates. It would cost $10 to go to Pittsburgh from New York, come back $10. That's still pretty good, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is.
Then I did two more cities. I did Syracuse from New York. These are pretty long trips. On Syracuse, going down October 8th, you can still buy a ticket for $1 from New York. Coming back on the 12th, October, you'd still be able to get a seat for $3. And then finally, Boston. If you were going to Boston October 8th, coming back the 12th, the fare going down, you could still get $1 seats going down, $3 seats coming back. So, I mean, any of the folks who read your blog or listen to you, they can check the website and they'll see those same fares. They'll see other fares too, because on other buses that are more popular already, the lowest fare may be $17.
Right.
Right. So booking in advance, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, those are two inside tips for getting the lowest fares. But even if you paid the highest fare, let's say you have to leave tomorrow.
Right.
The highest fare will still be cheaper than any other bus company, or at least equal to another bus company, but most of the time our buses are express or nonstop. You don't have to make seven stops going from point A to point B. And we're even showing connection buses now, because of our Facebook fans would say to us, how come you don't go from here to there? They said, I could do that myself. I'll book you from here to Pittsburgh and then connect in Pittsburgh, from Pittsburgh to someplace else. So we said, that's an idea. So we decided to incorporate connection buses in the page that comes up on trips and so forth.
Wow.
So there's a constant back and forth, right?
I'm gonna set out to do this and to see how much where I can travel and, you know, how little I can pay to have such a great trip. Just as an idea. I mean, from New York, can I go from New York to Toronto for a dollar? I mean, it can come
if you
up.
Book far enough. If you book far enough in advance, and depending on the time of year, because seasonality has a time with it too. Let me look and
right.
see what it costs right now. If you're going to go from New York, I have the website up, right? So I'm putting in New York. I'm putting in Toronto because we do serve Toronto. Now you know what that costs on an airline, right?
Oh, sure.
That's a lot of money. Any guess on what that ticket would cost on an airline?
It's got to be over $100 one way.
Easy. Right?
Yeah.
So let me put in November 12th, which is a Tuesday, going down, and put in
right.
Saturday, a trip coming back. Let's see what fares currently are available. So if you took an airline down, it'd probably be $150, right? And
yeah.
And we're guessing it coming back on. So there's $300 round trip. Right now, you can get a Megabus ticket to Toronto from New York for $35. Coming back, also $35. So it means all the $1 seats have been sold out, or the $7 seats, or the $10, but $70 round trip versus $300?
Okay, so
not bad.
But it is possible, though, that you can actually book it and wind up only going for a dollar.
Yes, it is. And by the way,
and
another thing to remember to try to know when to do that is, have you become a Megabus Facebook friend yet, Merle?
No.
You need to do that. When you bring up the website, at the very top, it's got that Facebook tab up there. And click on that. Become a Facebook friend for Megabus, and I'll tell you why. When we announce things, our Facebook friends and our Twitter followers always are advised up front because they're our loyal fans and our customers. So, for
mm-hmm.
instance, right now you can make bookings up to November 19th on Megabus.com. When we're ready to open up the next set of dates, like November 20th all the way through, say, into January, which incorporates the Thanksgiving holiday and Christmas and so forth, if you were a Facebook fan, you would get notice that day, the day we announced that, so that you could go right on the website and take a look at – that's when you have the biggest opportunity to get the $1 seats, when we extend the booking window. But then there's another kind of opportunity where you might even be able to get a seat for free. Now, what we've been doing in the past is travel in January and February, it drops. It's not as heavy as the rest of the year. Fewer people tend to travel in January and February. But we still have the buses out there, and we still have the seats, right? So what we have been doing over the past few years is, like we did this year, in December of 2011, we announced that if you're traveling in December 2012, we announced that if you're traveling in January and February, we're giving away, are you sitting down, 200,000 free seats.
That's
and
how
what we
I
did
got,
was we scattered.
That's how it went to Providence.
With a free seat?
Yes. Because I was
there you go, girl.
I got to test this out. I have to see like what this is like. And that's when I went. It was like at the end of February. I went to Providence,
right.
And I went, wow, this is really, really great, you know.
Yeah. So, and if you were a Facebook fan or if you were a Twitter follower for Megabus, you would be one of the first ones to find out about that and then be able to make your booking. So we try to do a number of things to encourage people to get these attractive fares, but all the fares really are very affordable.
Oh, you know where I got this information, actually? A press release must have been sent out to the newspaper that I write for, and it was in the newspaper, in my newspaper.
Yes.
And I'm going, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, we do put out press releases, but even before the press release goes out,
right.
our Facebook friends and our Twitter followers find out about it. By the way, I mentioned that one of the other sites that we're on is Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R. No E, T-U-M-B-L-R. And what
Not
we do on Tumblr,
yeah,
but what we try to do on Tumblr is to tell people about fun things that are going on all over the country, because often not only are we competing with the car, but we're competing with people who think they can't afford to travel nowadays because the economy is not recovering quickly. Some folks are worried about, you know, where the next dollar is going to come from. Or am I still going to have my job? So they cut back on spending on leisure travel or on discretionary things. And we have a way they can still accomplish that travel dream they have with these low fares. So I compete with a flat screen and an air conditioner sometimes. You know, if a person's not going to leave the house, that's a competitor for Megabus.com. So Tumblr is a list of fun things to do. We try to list sports dates, football game, baseball game, soccer games. We try to put the best restaurants in cities. If there's a big event going on somewhere, we'll do that. Or if Bruce Springsteen concert dates are listed, we'll do that. Or the greatest bars in the city, or if there's parades, that kind of stuff. So if somebody goes to Megabus.com, must-sees, M-U-S-T-S-E-E-S, they'll see all these fun places, and hopefully by them saying, we really should see that, hopefully the next thing they'll do is go to the Megabus.com website and see what it costs to go there. And if they see it only costs $5 each way, they could still take that trip. Matter of fact, we even changed our advertising. In the early days, back 7 years ago, we used to advertise a lot about the features of Megabus.com, the double-decker buses, the $1 fares, the free Wi-Fi, the powerhouse, that kind of thing. Now what we're finding is that the expense of travel shouldn't keep you from doing the things you love. That's what we're saying in a lot of our advertising. Americans love to travel. And if you don't think you can afford to do it, that puts stress on people. You know, you deserve a break. Everybody's working harder than ever to stay in place nowadays, right? You can get away and just look at some of these fares. I mean, and you'll get quality for your money. You're not sacrificing anything. And we think that's what's contributed to the 28 million people who've traveled on us so far. So that's the message we're trying to get across to everyone. And hopefully they'll take a look at the Megabus.com website before they make their final travel plans, as they're shopping, you know, as they're kind of doing their research. They should include Megabus.com in that research just to see what's available.
Well, I wanted to ask you about one of the things in terms of the weather elements. Like, I don't know if it's common. Like in New York, the problem with getting the bus is the locale goes on 34th Street. And it's, you know, it's a whole line. There's no shelter anywhere.
It's waiting outside for our buses, yes.
One of the
reasons we can reduce our fares to the degree that we do, we don't have in-bus terminal facilities. We don't pay the rent at all these bus terminals. We don't have ticket offices.
It's not that. It's that it's not like some place you can run into for a while.
But that's in some of the – well, you know, we're changing that. We started out doing that. But we're changing that. As a matter of fact, I think now there are about 20 of our cities where our megabus stops are adjacent to what are called transit centers or intermodal transportation centers, where buses and trains also go. So people can wait indoors if they wish and then come on out and get online 15 minutes, say, before the bus departs. But the majority of the stops right now are still outside. And people know that in advance. And so while it might be a little cold in some places, or down in Houston it might be pretty hot, people dress for the occasion, you know, and they understand that in order to be able to get these prices and to do what we're doing, that was one of the things we would have to do. But we're changing that slowly but surely. We're now positioning ourselves near these intermodal transit centers where you will have some opportunity for some shelter.
Yeah,
New York is always a challenge because New York has got so many transportation issues going on. And when you do the volume of business that we do out of New York's one of our biggest cities, it's difficult to find stops near places that can accommodate you.
You know what I'm going to network with you guys to hook up with, I had New York Pass on the radio tonight.
Yes.
It's a company, and I think I'm going to see if we can hook this up that for people coming in. Now, you think about how little they spend to come into New York, and now they can have a discount on seeing a whole bunch of attractions.
When the number's not
connected, if they get the New York Pass.
Say that again, Mira.
In other words, you're going to get people coming in to New York City, and they'll be coming from wherever, and they wind up spending very little in terms of the megabus to come into New York City. But now, if they then are able to purchase, and they can get it online even, if they purchase a New York pass, the pass gets them to several attractions at a discounted price. And
lines
and stuff like that, and that would be a great, Actually, great seller for boats. We can.
Well, you know, we've done something similar in a way. When you go on the Megabus.com website, if you look down, you scroll down to the bottom left side of the homepage, you'll see a box down there. So let's say people are looking for hotels or they're looking for other services in New York. You can click on that and you will see very discounted rates there. At the top of the homepage, there are a number of scrolling banners. One of them talks about mega deals. If you clicked on that banner, you'll see a page that lists special prices for Broadway shows in New York, special prices for sightseeing, special admission tickets in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, in Washington, in a number of cities. We even have hostels there. You know, young people like to stay in hostels. And there are some very interesting hostels that are very low and very expensive in cost. And because you're a Megabus customer, you get even a better price. So we're adding more and more value onto the Megabus website in addition to the bus trip itself.
Can I get in touch with, get the marketing company that deals with New York Pass to get in touch with you guys and see if you can?
Yeah, who, do you remember who you spoke with? I know the folks, I think, over there. Was it Ken? Ken Burroughs?
No, it wasn't Ken. You know what? Wait a second. Episode information. Here we are. Brian Sullen. He's a marketing exec.
How do you spell his last name?
S-U-L-L-I-N.
Tell you what, when we hang up, I will give Brian a call and talk to him about what might be possible.
Yeah, because I think that would be great for, you know, the people coming. It just is probably the same thing. Let's say, for instance, if I'm going to Boston, they have their own Boston Pass, too. They do that
right.
as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So this
right.
might be, you know, a great idea. If you think about, whether it's just one person or a family coming in and, you know, not knowing enough and, you know, being able to have these passes and, to get around, to go to different places.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know? And again, I'm saying that's the reason we've had some of that on our website as well, because we believe even more value is important to people. Sure.
Brian Sullen, S-C-U-L-L-I-N. That's his name. Brian Sullen.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
I will talk to them. Absolutely. Thanks for the tip.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much. I think I probably – oh, I know why it's not – I know why I haven't written about it yet. Actually, it's on my blog. My blog
yes,
is
you've
up
written
on
about
my,
us.
On my,
I think you've written my, about us twice, if I recall.
Yeah,
yeah.
The first time I wrote about on the Providence. On this
right.
one, I haven't gotten to the physical articles on my trip to Quincy yet. So at this
Quincy.
Point, everything is up on the blog. So it's basically.
Well, you did write about your Boston trip too. I saw.
Yes, I wrote about the. Oh no, that was a long time ago. The Boston.
It was.
Oh yeah, but what I did is I came into Boston, but I was staying in Quincy, on this trip, and what it is now, because I backed up on other articles, I haven't gotten to write about Quincy in the Queen's Times yet.
Right.
So.
Right.
What's up on my blog is basically what's going to be going into the newspapers. And it's not just that paper, because I still have some other newspapers that I write for. So, you know, Megabus will be mentioned on each one of them.
By the way, the full name of the brand is Megabus.com. That's the actual name of the brand.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much for calling in, because I was, you know, it's real, I'm sitting here going, Megabus, and I want Megabus, and I'm going, oh, I got to find their phone number, and I'm going, oh, no, and then I'm going, oh, I wonder who's calling in. Oh, look at that, it's Megabus, thank God.
Well, I thank you for having the patience to wait up with us, and we're delighted for the time and what I learned about soft shell lobsters. I'll never forget.
Yeah, me too. Well,
thank you, Mel, very much.
And I'll be in touch.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to try that out, and I guess it's definitely time. It definitely is time to end my show. Let's see where we are. Of course, the show probably ended a long time ago. I think this is hopefully just recording. Okay. So.